Today's shiur is Masechta Pesachim, Daf Mem Beis, and we're going to begin 11 lines from the top. Mei Tashmisha Shel Nachta. We had learned in the Mishnah that the water that the baker uses to put his hands in to cool off may not be used on Pesach, because the water is chametzdik. They have particles of dough, chametzdik dough in it. Tani Chada, so we learned in one brisa, where should you spill out those waters in a place that's an incline, so the water should spill away. They should not be spilled out in a place that has like a ditch or a pothole, because the water will accumulate and that water is chametzdik water, says the Gemara. Yet we learned another brisa, that you may pour it out even in a place that has a ditch, answers the Gemara Lakasha. How do we reconcile these two brises? Hadin nefishi, if you have a lot of this water, the kavu, that the water accumulates, so then the halacha is you're not allowed to pour it in one place. Hadalai nefishi, when you don't have so much water, the like kavu, that they don't accumulate, then you could even pour it out in a place that it has a ditch that it may accumulate. Halacha doesn't bring down this difference, because the Rosh and the Ran both tell us that since the Gemara doesn't identify what's considered a lot of water and what's considered a little water, we don't know, so therefore we don't pour this water out no matter how much or how little we have. That is another interesting shaila. When the Gemara says that this water has to be poured out, at what time are we discussing? Are we speaking after the Zman Isser, after Chatzos and Erev Pesach, where Chametz is Asur? There is a concern that if you're going to pour out the water and it's going to be in your Rishus, that's why it's Asur. Or is it even before the Zman, but since the water is accumulating and it doesn't have where to pour, spill away, even before the Zman it's Asur? Most Rishonim and Paiskim say that our Gemara here is discussing strictly after the Zman Isser. Before the Zman Isser, there is no problem with this water. It's not Pesach yet. The water is not Asr. Although, the Yoraba asks a Gevaldi Akasha. He says, if the Gemara is only speaking about after the Zman Isser, so he asks, when the Gemara had these two brises, they contradict each other. One brisa says you could pour it in a place where the water will accumulate. One brisa says he can't. Why didn't the Gemara say that one is before the Zman Isser and one is after the Zman Isser? It would have been an obvious answer. Isn't that an indication, says the Eliyahu Rabba, that our Gemara is even speaking before the Zman Isser? So the Eliyahu Rabba says it still could be that our Gemara is only speaking about after the Zman Isser. Yet why did the Gemara not give that teretz? The Gemara didn't want to give that teretz because they used to bake the bulk of their matzahs after Chatzos, Erev Pesach. So it doesn't make sense to give an answer that this is water that's there from before Chatzos, because no matzahs were really baked before Chatzos. Another question, when the Gemara says here that you're not allowed to pour the water in a place where it could accumulate, where does that mean? Is that mean strictly that place is in my Rishus? But let's say I pour it in a place that it could accumulate, but it's Rishus Rabim. It's not my own Rishus. Obviously, we're not talking that it could hurt anybody. It's Mutter. Or are you not allowed to pour it anywhere? What's the Shaila? The Shaila is the Issa here because of Bayi Ra, Bayi Matzi, not allowed to have Chametz. But that Issa is only applicable in your Rishus. If it's not in your Rishus, there is no problem. On the other hand, if the Issa is because somebody may come to pick up that water and use that water, not knowing that that water is chametzdig, then it would be even usur, even Rishus HaRabim. The Magen Avraham discusses, when the Gemara speaks here about pouring out the water, and the Gemara makes a distinction between a place where it could accumulate or a place where it could spill away. What's going to be the halacha, he discusses, if it's a place that doesn't have a ditch, doesn't have a paddle, but on the other hand, it's not an incline. It's a flat road, a flat stone road. Why will that have halacha? What's the shaila of the Magen Avraham? Do we say that it's only mutter in a place that has an incline? This place doesn't have an incline. It's not mutter. Or do I say the problem is that it's going to accumulate and not go away? But here, since it's a flat area and it'll get absorbed, so it's okay. The Magen Avraham is Meikel. He says if the area doesn't have a ditch, then it's acceptable because it will get absorbed. Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda, Ish Lo Talush El B'Mayim Shalanu. The only water that should be used for baking matzahs is water that is left out overnight. And this is a very fundamental halacha in baking matzahs, because water that's warm, as we discussed and will discuss, is not acceptable for baking matzahs. It can make the matzahs chametzig. That's why we're supposed to use mayim shlonu. Mayim shlonu means water that's left overnight outside. Now there are a lot of reasons given in the Rishonim why you should use mayim shlonu. Rashi here says because the water that's under the well, water that's in a well, is warm in the winter, and that water is not acceptable, so that's why you have to leave it out overnight, that it should, so to speak, cool off. According to Rashi, it would mean that water from a river doesn't have this problem. It's only well water. Furthermore, according to Rashi, the point is you want to get it out of the well. So it doesn't necessarily mean the night. And let's say you take it out in the morning and you leave it out all day and it's not in the well all day, it would also be acceptable. The Urayim gives a different reason. He says that in the winter, the sun travels under the earth by night. So if the water is in the well or in the river at night, the sun goes under it overnight and it heats up the water, and that's why you should have the water out of the well overnight. So according to Urayim, the main point is that you want to get it out of the well before night starts. So if you got it out of the well right before night, that would be acceptable. You don't have to leave it out overnight, according to the Urayim, because you got it out on time. The other Rishonim say the agitation of removing water from the well shakes it up, and therefore you need to leave it out for 12 hours in a non-agitated state. Another reason I saw in the Rishonim is that you need that the water should be out of the well when the second half of the night, which is colder, and that cools off the water. L'halach l'maisa, we're machmer for all the shitas that we just mentioned, and that's why we take the water out before night. We're machmer to take it out by shkia time. We leave it out all night. L'halach, we're supposed to keep it out at least 12 hours, so the whole night should pass, and it should be by night, not by day. That's how we paskin. There's an interesting Maram Chalva that takes just the opposite approach. He says that the problem with the water is that the water is too cold, and that the water, when it's too cold, meets the dough, the flour that's warmer, it heats up the flour, because opposites bring out the worst in each other sometimes, and that's why you want to let it warm up during the night. And it's interesting, I saw a tshuva from the Shevet Alevi that he was asked a shaila from the Jews in Switzerland, where apparently the water in the winter is very, very cold, and they said that if they bake with that matzah, that water matzah, it just doesn't stick. The flour, the water is too cold. So they asked him, could they warm up the water a little? Obviously not make it to a high degree, just take off that cold edge so that they can make matzah. So although he quotes a Yavetz that says that this whole Gemara was only speaking in Eretz Yisrael, he says that it's difficult to understand what the Yavetz says, because the Rama quotes this halacha about Mayim Shalanu, and the Rama didn't live in Eretz Yisrael, the Rama lived in Poland. And therefore he says that of course the Mayim Shalanu has to be followed as it says in the Gemara, and you can't let it make it warmer. You have to figure out some sort of an Eitzah, but don't take that water and at all warm it up under any circumstances. You have to cover it. We're going to talk about covering it. Darish Rava, Darish Ramasna Papanaya. Ramasna spoke about this halacha in Papanaya, that you have to use Mayim Shalanu. L'macha Aisa Kul Alma Katzvayu. The next day, everybody brought their barrels. Vosla Gabein came to him. V'amalai, Havlanu Mayim. Give us your water. Because they thought that what does Mayim Shalanu mean? Mayim Shalanu doesn't mean water that was left overnight. They thought Mayim Shalanu means water that belongs to me. Amalu, Anaba Mayim de Mesa Amri. I didn't mean water that belongs to me. I meant water that was left overnight. So all the Mefarshim asked the obvious question, what's the point of the Gemara quoting this story? The Sfas Emes says that the point of the story is a lesson to rabbis, The rabbis have to speak clearly. They have to give a drush in a way that the people should understand what's being said. Because here you see that was misunderstood. In fact, I saw a story from the Chafetz Chaim. There was one day that the Chafetz Chaim came to davening, to Shacharis, right before Baruch Hu. After davening, he called together all the Talmidim, and he said, I want to make a speech. I want to say a drasha. So he said, I want you to know that yesterday I was in Vilna for a meeting with Reb Chaim Oizer, and I came home very late at night, and I wanted to stay up till Shacharis, daven, and then go home and lay down. But I'm human, and I fell asleep, and that's why I came a little late to Shacharis. So his Talmidim asked him, you have to explain yourself to us. You're the Chofetz Chaim. So he said, I don't want anybody to get the wrong message, that they'll think that you could come to shul right before Baruch Hu. So I'm telling you, this was a one-time event. In fact, I saw a story from Yitzhak Zilberstein. He says there was a Jew that came to him and told him that he was by a Levaya, and he saw that when they brought the Aron, the Nifta, to shul, they took out the Sifrei Torah. So he said, what's going on here? So he said that they had this minig because somebody came and told them that when a choshva person is nifta, they make hakofis bar alavaya. Hakofis bar alavaya means that they carry the aron around. They understood what does hakofis mean. We know hakofis in Simchas Torah, you take out the sefer Torah. So if you're not clear in what you say, this is what could happen. Another teretz given by the Mefarshim is that the point is, obviously they till then did not use mayim shalanu, because they obviously didn't know anything about it, and yet they had baked matzahs. So from here we see that even if matzahs are baked without mayim shalanu, they may be acceptable, which is not really accepted in halacha. We're very makbid on mayim shalanu. And a third teretz I saw, Rabbi Saul Salanta says this teretz, I saw from the Klaus Magreb this teretz, how they reacted to what Rabbonim said. Here Rav came up and said, you have to use my water for matzahs. So many people, if they heard a Rav making that thing, they said, oh, the rabbis are trying to make a business. They didn't take that approach. Their approach was, if the Rav says it, that's what we do. We don't ask any questions. I saw a pshat from the Pnei Menachem. The Pnei Menachem says like this. We know that matzah represents the Yetzer Tov. It's small, it's banivus, it's modest. They came to their Rav, and they told the Rav that, you know matzah? Matzah's for the Rav. Your matzah, you have to be on a high madrega. We don't have to be on a high madrega. So he said, no, matzah's for everybody. Everybody has to achieve what matzah represents, that they have to achieve the Yetzer Tov. But I did see a tshuva from Rebbe Yoshev. He was asked, nowadays, let's say water is kept in a water tower, and it's there overnight. Would that water be acceptable to bake matzahs? Because it's mayim shalanu. So he says that you can't use that water for mayim shalanu. We should not use that water for mayim shalanu, because all water that comes out of the tap, they add chlorine to. And chlorine, what he called, could accelerate the chimitz process. Mayim shalanu has nothing to do with machine matzahs or hand matzahs. Mayim shalanu is a din in Shulchan Aruch. You have to use mayim shalanu for all matzahs. Sure. Dorish Rava, Ishloi Tolish Bechama, a woman should not knead the matzah in the sun, because the sun affects the matzah, and therefore the halacha is that anything that's done with the matzah, the water, the flour, is always covered because of this reason. And if you'll notice in a matzah bakery, there are no windows for this reason. And the halacha says that, let's say it's a cloudy day, there's no sun. So the halacha says, Yoyim Davi Iva is Kula Shimsha. Even when you see a cloudy day, the sun is really hiding behind the clouds. So even on a cloudy day, you should not expose anything of the matzah baking to the sun. V'loy b'chamichama, and not with water that was heated up from the sun. And like Rashi explains, certainly water that was heated up on the fire is not acceptable. But even water that was heated up in the sun, it doesn't get that hot. Don't make matzahs with it, because hot water accelerates the chimitz process. They used to have such a copper urn that they kept for hot water. So it says, even if the urn is not on top of the fire, we're concerned that all water, because the copper urn was so insulated, will be warm, and any water in that urn should not be used. Good question, I'll tell you in a minute. In fact, one of the hakbadas we have in making matzahs is that we never use any copper utensils at all, because copper makes things insulated and we try to avoid copper. Plastic, glass are acceptable. The shear that it says in Shulchan Aruch that it's hot is the degree of saliva. As hot as saliva is, it's already considered hot. Anything below that is not considered hot. V'leisagbi yodim natana atche tigmas kolapas, which means that once you start baking the matzah, you should not stop. You have to have asik. You have to work with the matzah the whole time, not leave it for one moment, which is a very important halacha, which we're machmer on, that nobody should stop working with the matzah once you begin baking the matzah. The Alshich explains, homiletically, that as we know, matzah represents, like we said before, the Yetzer Tov. So a person, says the Alshich, would think that once he came to the madrega of matzah, once he came to a certain level, he could rest on his laurels. Says the Gemara of Leisagbi, Yodim Natanar, Ashatigmas Kolpas. You're not allowed to let go for one moment. Even if you got to a certain madrega, don't stop. Continues the Gemara, Tzricha Shnei Kalim. You need two kalim for water to make the matzah. Achat Shemekatefes Ba, Vachat Shemetzananos Bas Yadea. They used to base the matzah with a coating of water. So they said that, and they also used to put their hands into water to cool off. So they're saying that the water that you use to cool off your hands, don't use that water to baste the matzah, because that water has residue of dough. It's been heated up from the heat of your hand. We don't baste the matzah anyway, but how we makbid on this halacha, we're makbid that the person that makes the dough, that kneads the dough, should not be the same person that rolls the dough. It's always two different people. Iboilu, ask the Gemara. What happens if somebody didn't follow one of these halachas? And there's a machlokas in Rishonim exactly which halacha is the Gemara asking. Is the Gemara asking about using water that was heated in the sun? Is the Gemara using the halacha of Ma'am Shlanu? Most Rishonim explain that the Gemara's question here is regarding all the halachas that we learned now. What happens if somebody didn't follow one of these halachas? Mazutra says the matzahs are okay, but the Eved, Rav Ashi Osir, that the matzahs are not acceptable. Om Mazutra, so Mazutra says, no aminullah, from where do I prove that the matzahs are acceptable, even though they violated some of the halachas that we learned today? The Tanya, we learned the Gemara and Daf Mem. Ein loisus in a sasarim bepesach. We learned that you're not allowed to soak the barley that was going to be used to make matzah. But the Gemara said, vim losus, if somebody did soak it, the halacha is nizbaku, if the barley kernels split open, which is a sign that they became chametz asurim. You're not allowed to use it. Loi nizbaku, but if they didn't split open, betarim. So we see that even though somebody violated the halacha, but the evid, as long as it's not chametz, it's acceptable. Rav Ashi says, the exact definitions of these words is all clothing woven with the same needle. Just because over there Chazal said that b'di'eved, if you didn't follow the rule, the matzah is acceptable, heichad itma itmer, where Chazal said that b'di'eved it's alright, they said it, heichad layitma layitma, where they didn't say it's acceptable, it's not acceptable. Here nobody ever said that if you violated these rules, they're acceptable, and that's why it's not. And like we said before, that's why all these halachas, even b'di'eved, you have to follow Maim Shalanu, not using warm water. But Rashi asks an interesting question. He says, on Daf Mem, we learned that B'tzeker Shal Nachrim, if you have dough that was made by a goy, you're allowed to eat it on Pesach, as long as you eat the last kezayis that was made by a Jew. Ask Rashi, a goy certainly didn't follow all these rules that we just learned, so why are you allowed to eat that matzah on Pesach? So when we learned the Gemara and Daf Mem, we said that not everybody agrees with Rashi. Most Rishonim learn that even though the guy made the matzah, but he made it under supervision of a Jew. And the Jew made certain that all these halachas were followed. So Rashi's question is not difficult, according to those Rishonim. But according to Rashi, that he explained, B'tzeker Shal Nachrim, to mean matzah that was made by a guy in the guy's home, and he just brought it to your home, and you see that he didn't that the matzah, that the dough is not chametz, it's acceptable, so you see that you don't have to follow these rules. So Rashi says, when a goy makes dough, these halachas weren't said to goy, they were said to Jews. So the goy didn't do anything wrong. So therefore, since he didn't do anything wrong, we don't say that the matzah is not acceptable. The Jew did something wrong by not following those rules, and that's why the matzah is not acceptable. Says the Ran, according to Rashi, they will make a difference with Jew. The Jew then knows the halacha, that you're not allowed to use these, that you have to follow these rules, and he violated these rules. So there, he's not like a goy, and he would taka, the matzah would not be acceptable. That's knas, that's a fine. But the Jew, says the Ran, according to Rashi's understanding of the Gemara, who never learned these halachas, doesn't come to the Daf Yomi Shir. You can't have any complaints against him. He didn't know better. Perhaps the matzah would be acceptable then, even if it was baked by a Jew. Hadun l'kosha, hadun l'kosha. We begin the next parak discussing two types of chametz. Till now we've been discussing chametz gomer, full-fledged chametz. Now we're going to discuss taruvas chametz. Taruvas chametz is something that has a mixture of chametz in it. And the other thing we're going to discuss is chametz noiksha. Chametz noiksha is inedible chametz. Like the Prima Gadim explains, there are two ways the chametz is inedible. It becomes chametz noiksha. Either it never really became completely fermented, or it's fermented, but it's inedible. Certainly, if it's not roi l'achilas kelef, it can't even be eaten by a dog, so we explained many times, that's not even chametz noiksha. Chametz noiksha is edible by a dog. Says the Mishnah, ve'elo oivim b'pesach, on these items, one is over on Pesach, even though the teruvah is chametz and chametz noiksha. There's a machloikas Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Rashi says that in teruvah is chametz, and a chametz noiksha, you're over by your raw and by your matzah, just like on chametz gomer. Tosfos quotes the Rabbeinu Tam that says that in teruvah chametz and chametz noiksha, there is no by your raw, by your matzah. And in fact, the Mefarshim ask if, according to Tosfos, is there a need to do bedikas chametz for teruvah chametz and chametz noiksha? Because we learned at the beginning of the Besechta that Tosfos told us that what's the reason we do bedikas chametz? Because since chametz doesn't issur b'yiro b'yimotzei, so we have to do bedikas chametz. But if Tosfos holds, the Rebbeinu Tam holds, that in teruvah chametz and the chametz noiksha there is no b'yiro b'yimotzei, there may not be any requirement to do bedikas chametz. So says the Mishnah, kutach habavli is this dip that was made with moldy bread. Sheikh Hamadai is a type of beer. We'll discuss it. The Chaimetz Adoimi is a type of vinegar. These are all Taruvas Chametz. Zeisim HaMitzri, Vezumin Shal Tzavom, Vameinen Shal Tabachim, Vekayon Shal Seifron, we'll describe each one as we learn them in the Gemara, are all Chametz Noiksha. Rebbe Lezer Omer, Aftachti Shitei Noshim. So, although we'll speak about Rebbe Lezer more in the next year, the Mefarshim have the Machloikus Rishonim how to understand Rebbe Lezer. Some Rishonim explain that Rebbe Lezer is coming to agree with the Tanna Kamma. He's not disagreeing, he's just saying Tachshitei Noshim is an example of Taruvas Chametz of Chametz Noiksha. Others say that Rebbe Lezer is coming with Chumrah. Because what is the status of Tachshitei Noshim? It's Chametz Noiksha that it's in a Taruvas. So you have two things. Number one, it's not full-fledged chametz, and it's in a taruvitz, it's in a mixture with some everything else. And he's saying that even that is osur, and the Tanakama may disagree and say that that's not osur. What is an example, perhaps, of tachshitei noshim? Perfume. If perfume is made with alcohol, that's chametz. So the alcohol is chametz knoksha, it's inedible, and it's mixed with other ingredients. So that may be an example of Tachshitei Noshim that, according to the Tanna Kamma, would not be Osir. Unless there are some Poskim that hold that if chemically you could separate the two, the Chametz from the non-Chametz, it doesn't have the din of Taruvas. Zeklal, Kol Shum Min Dogen, anything that comes from grain, Harei Zeover Pesach. Harei Eilu Bashar, all the things mentioned in our Mishnah, there's a Chiv Lav, for Taruvas Chametz, the Chametz Noiksha. However, Ein Bishim Karas, there is no Chiv Karas. Tanarabon, says the Gemara, Shloish Dvarim Namarim Bekutach Abavli. There were three things said about this dip. The dip was made out of moldy bread and a dairy ingredient, whey and water and salt. V'tantam Salef, causes heart problems. Mesaimus anayim causes eye problems. Or machash is a guf and generally weakens the body. But tantum salaif, why does it affect the heart? Mishum nesubit the chalba, because of the whey. Mesaimus anayim, mishum milk, it has the salt. And when somebody puts his fingers into it, and then he puts his fingers on his eye, they affect the eye. Or machash is a guf, and it hurts the body. Mishum kums. Because of the moldy bread, the mold has an adverse effect. Tan Rabbanan, Gimelvar Mabn Hazevel, there are three things that cause a person diarrhea. The Kaifan Sakaima, they affect the pasture, they make the person hunchback. The Noitl Echem Mechamish Meyas Mimel Enev Shaladam, they take away 1/500th of a person's vision. Elam, Paskeber, bread made with not clean flour. Sheikh Chodesh, new beer, the Yerachayim, fresh vegetables. Rashi says fresh vegetables when you eat a lot of fresh vegetables. Eating vegetables is alright as long as you don't eat a lot. Tanabonin, Shlosh Dvar Ma'atim Sazevel, three things cause a person not to be diuretic. The Zoykfinis are coming, give them good pasture, or Me'irinis Einayim, they help the vision. Elan Pasnakia, bread made out of white flour. Basa Shamein, fat meat, the Yayin Yoshin, and old wine. Pasnakia, what is clean bread mean? The smida. It's made out of fine flour. Bas shamein, fat meat, that's appeared to the la'iftach, a goat that never had children. Yain yashon, old wine, atikatika, is very old wine. Rashi says it's 3 years old. Kom mili demal lahai, anything that's good for one. Usually when you take something that's good, there are side effects. Kosh lahai, if it's good for one thing, it's bad for the other thing. Or the kosh lahai, or if it's not good for one thing, mal lahai, it's good for something else. Bar, mezambila retiva, fresh ginger, papilla richta, long pepper, pasnakia, and clean, white bread, made out of clean flour, or basa shemen, fatty meat, v'yayin yoshin, three-year-old wine, the mal kolugufei, that's good for the whole body. Sheikh Ramadi, what is Sheikh Ramad, I mean, the Ramabe Meisari, that barley was put into it. So Rashi explains, in those days, most beer was made out of dates. But in this beer, they put in some barley to accelerate the fermentation. There's a machloik is how to learn Pshat and Rashi. Some, most Mefarshim, that's the way we Paskin, say that this beer that we're speaking about here is regular date beer. But into the date beer, they put in some barley. So that's why it's Taruvas Chametz. But pure barley beer, the beer that we have, that's made out of hops, that would be Chametz Gomer. Others say that the Gemara here is referring to regular beer. But even regular beer is only considered Taruvas Chametz because it's a combination of hops and water. We consider regular beer Chametz Gomer. The Chametz Adami, what's Chametz Adami? The Shadabe Sari. They used to put into the vinegar barley. Amar Rav Nachman, Betchilo Kishayim Avi in the Sochem Yehuda. We know that to the Kabbonis, they had to bring wine, and they used to bring wine from Yehuda. Lohayayin Shal Yehuda Machmetz. The grape juice of Yehuda was so good, it didn't get fermented, it never spoiled, so it never turned into wine. How did they get it to ferment? At Shanaisin Lotachin Sayrim. They used to put into it barley. And that, when you bought regular vinegar in Yehuda, you could safely assume that it had barley in it. Why? Because otherwise, it would never turn into vinegar because it would never ferment. But now, the Yehuda wine, unfortunately, ferments. The wine of the Adoyimim doesn't ferment. And until you put into it some barley, and that's what's referred to in our Mishnah, Chaim Tzadoimi, wine vinegar, but the wine vinegar has in it barley to cause the fermentation. L'kayim Mashenemar, what does this represent? Imola Achareva. The Pot says in Yecheskel that Klal Yisrael, Yaakov and Esav, Klal Yisrael and Edoim can never be on the same plateau. Either one is up and the other one is down, or vice versa. So when Yehuda wine is not fermenting, Edom wine is fermenting. And when Edom wine is not fermenting, our wine is fermenting. And Molech Zu, if we're on top, Charev Zu, then they're on bottom. And Molech Zu, if they're Chas V'Shalom on top, Charev Zu, then we're on bottom. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Malka, what's the Makar for this relationship? what Rivka was told when she was told that she's carrying twins, Yaakov and Esav. She was told, Ula'oim el'oim yamatz. One will be on top, and the other one will be bottom. Never together. Amar Yehuda. Yehuda b'rishon alakaya chametz ma'am'aretz. If Yehuda used to be if somebody bought vinegar from ma'am'aretz, ain't tzarch l'aser. He doesn't have to take off ma'isris, because normally we explain that if somebody buys produce from ma'aretz because of the mai, that we're concerned that they didn't take off trumas and ma'isris. If you bought this vinegar, you don't have to take off your ma'isris. Why? We could assume that vinegar that was made in Yehuda was not made out of wine. The wine was never turned into vinegar, but it was made out of tamid. Tamid, as we will learn, is either that they make it out of the seeds of the grape, or they make it out of the residue that's on the bottom of the barrel. The achshav, however, now, if you buy vinegar from Namaretz, tzorch lasi, you do have to take ma'isris. Shechaskosa in a bal minayayin, our wine nowadays ferments, and therefore we have to be concerned that it's wine from which the Amoritz did not take Trumas and Maestras. Ask the Gemara, the Sav Rabbi Yehuda Temed Le'Abai Surihu, does Rabbi Yehuda hold that a product of Temed doesn't have to be taken off its own Maestra? V'atanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Hametamed V'Nasamayim. Somebody took this Temed and adds water to it. B'midi, put in a certain amount, U'matzah Kedei Midasai, and he found the same volume after he begins the process. As before the process, potter, he doesn't have to take off maestros. Because this temed, these residue, or these skin, or the seeds, did not add anything. Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev. Rabbi Yehuda says that since, even though they didn't add anything to the volume, but they added color, and they added taste, you have to take off maestro. So why is Rabbi Yehuda saying that if I buy vinegar from a Jew, who I know the vinegar came because of Temed, I don't have to take off Maestris? Rabbi Yehuda says that from Temed you have to take off Maestris. Answers the Gemara two terutzim. One terutz is, Hachikama, Loi nechshtu ami oretz ala Temed. Even though Temed, according to Rabbi Yehuda, does require its own Maestr, however, it's not that significant. Why do we have to take off Truma and Maestris when we buy something from Amoritz? Because we're concerned that he doesn't want to give away, like we explained, 20%, more than 20%. But this is an inexpensive item, so he doesn't mind giving it away, and that's why we could be sure they gave Truma and Maestris, and we don't have to take our own Truma and Maestris. But that's when you buy it from Temet, not when it's not Temet. Ibayisema, Lechshdu. Even by vinegar made out of Temed, we are concerned that they didn't take off Trumas and Maestras. We just learned that when you buy from the Ma'aretz, Rabbi Yehuda says, you don't have to take off your own Trumas and Maestras. Loi kasha. Haba dafka, haba dabatsuni. Like we explained, Temed could be one of two ways. It could either be the residue of the wine, or it could be the seed of the grape. When it's made from the residue of the wine, there's a chiv to take off Trumas and Maestras. And we're concerned that the Ma'aretz did not take Trumas and Maestras. Tells us Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah that you have to take off your own. On the other hand, when it's made out of seed, Rabbi Yehuda holds that no chiv to take off Trumas and Maestras at all. And that's why when you buy it from the Ma'aretz, you don't have to take off your own Trumas and Maestras. The Zeisim HaMitzri. The next example the Mishnah gave was Zeisim HaMitzri. My Zeisim HaMitzri, what is that? Tan Rabbi Yosef. Tilsasari. It's a third barley, tilsa kortami, a third saffron, betilsa, which is a spice, a herb, betilsa milk, and a third salt. Rapapa mapik sairi, he takes out barley, or mail chiti, and he says that they made it with wheat, not with barley. The simonach, to remember who says what, sisni. Rabbi Yosef has a samach in his name, and sari has that samach sound, so you know it's Rabbi Yosef that says Zeisim HaMitzri was made with barley. Tarlu, they soak these ingredients together, the kalalhu, and then they toast it, the tachnilhu, and then they grind it, the shasilhu, and they drink it, midifcha varatzerta, between Pesach and Shavuos. The comet, somebody who's constipated, matale, it loosens him up, the rapi, somebody who's diuretic, makmitle, it constipates him. However, says the Gemara, l'chayla, somebody who's sick, ulisha ubra, or to a pregnant woman, sakanta, it's a sakana to use, to drink this, it's too strong for them. V'zomen shal tzvam, Hocheta Gema, we explained it. Maya the Chivri, it's water in which bran is soaked. The Tzava Baliba, that's used as a dye for animal skin. Vamelin Shatabachim, what is that? Pastvua, it's bread made out of grain. Shalavia Shlish, that the grain did not grow a third. Shemenichal Gabakadera, that's put on the mouth of a pat, v'shevus azuma. If there's bubble, it what he called the froth, it absorbs. I guess this was the first antifoam. V'koylan shel soifrim, hocha tergima, purura d'ashkafi. Purura d'ashkafi means shoemaker's paste, the glue used by shoemakers. Rav Shimon Chuzno ama, ze tipulan shel b'nai sashurim. It's what the wealthy girls used to use to remove unwanted hair. Shemeshayas son lebnais aniyim. As we will learn tomorrow in the Gemara, wealthy girls used to use a mixture made with flour to remove excess hair. Very poor girls used to use something made out of lime. Here we have that the wealthy women would have left over, and they would give it to the nice aniyim, their leftover. Why is it called koilin shel soifrim? What does that have to do with soifrim? Soifrim represent melamdim. And even in those days, the melamdim didn't have money. So koilin shel soifrim means that the ingredient that was left over to the daughters of the soifrim who were poor. And this has in it flour. So the Rishonim ask an obvious question. If it has flour in it, and that's why it's chametzdik, so it's not only what's left over for the poor girls. Even what's used by the rich girls is chametz. It has flour. So they answer, the one that's used by the rich girl, they make it, and they use it immediately. And since they use it immediately, it doesn't have an opportunity to become chametz. The one that's used by the poor girl, there's already a delay, and it becomes chametzdig, and that's why it should not be used on Pesach. Eini, says the Gemara, how could you say that koilin shel soifrim means this ingredient that's used to remove the hair by the poor girls? But Tana Rav Chiya, Rav Chiya, in explaining our Mishnah, said there are arba mina medina. There are four things that are listed by a country. The first four things: kutech abavli, sheikh ramadai, chaymitz adoimi, zaysim hamitzri, v'shloi shemini umnes. And the next three things are used by people in certain crafts. What are the next three things? As we learned in the Mishnah, zumin shel tzvam, emelin shel tavachim, the koyon shel soifrim. So if you say that it means what's used by the shoemaker, so that makes sense, because that's used by a craftsman, it's used by a shoemaker. But if you say it's used by a woman to remove excess hair, what does that have to do with a craftsman? My mini umnesika, what vi amrit, says the Gemara, tipulin shel b'nais ashirim, that the koilin shel soifrim is what was used by the girls to remove excess hair. My minus ikka, what does it have to do with a craft? Vela, pure shidushkhfi. We go back and we say it's the paste, the glue used by the shoemaker. Ask the Gemara, if that's what it means, a my karle hai koilin shel soifrim, so why is it called what's used by the scribes? Koilin shel ratzonim mibayi, it should be called what's used by the shoemaker. Mibayi, that's what the Mishnah should have called it. Arav Ashi, la'olim purur de'ishkafi. It is the paste, it is the glue used by the shoemaker. So if it's used by the shoemaker, how did the soifrim get in here? Or my karle koilin shel soifrim, why is it called what's used by the soifrim? The soifrim nami badbikim bo na'yoseim. In those days they made paper, they used to take such strips of wood and glue them together. And the same glue that was used by the shoemaker was used by the scribes to put together the paper. But the Paiskim say that this glue is only a problem when it's in its jar. But let's say you make paper out of this glue, and now you have a piece of paper that's being put together by this ingredient, that paper would certainly not be Taruvus Chametz, you could use the paper in Pesach, you could look at the Sefer. We end the shir with a Chassid Shavart, the Tiferes Shloimeh and the Shem Shmuel both say in our Mishnah. The Mishnah says there are four items that are listed in the Mishnah: Kutach HaBavli, Sheikh Ramadai, Chaymetz HaDoimi, the Zaysim HaMitzri. Those represent the four golas the Klai Yisrael Abinin, Bavel, Madai, Edom, and Mitzri. Say these svarim, for Elu Oivrim, for Pesach, if somebody's careful on Pesach to follow all the rules of Pesach, for Elu Oivrim, for Pesach, he will be able to go out of Golis, we will be out of Golis, and we will have Mashiach.